I'm Vic Walter, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to worship this morning, especially visitors who are with us, and also those on live streaming. We have, in the past week, had a very good surprise. Erin Kerber from the Lutheran Church of Australia, International Mission Coordinator, gathered together with Pastor Mesak from Indonesia. They joined us with coffee and chat on Thursday, and joined us for Bible study with Pastor Nigel. And Erin was showing Pastor Mesak around South Australia so he could practice his English. So I sat alongside him at lunch and showed him my English, asked him all sorts of questions, and so he had to answer me in English. He was learning English, came to South Australia to learn English and also to learn what the church is doing in the communities around South Australia. Our Lutheran Women of Australia support the Indonesian Luther Study Centre as one of their projects, and I understand that they'll be visiting the Labyrinth this coming Friday, some of the Indonesians anyway, around that time anyway, so they're having another visit down to Victor Harbour. One thing that's coming up on the 2nd of August is the church is sponsoring a wisdom and well-being workshop. That's up there on the screen. On Friday the 2nd of August from 2 till 3. And Dr. Paul Wheatham will lead the workshop that will cover topics such as, that's up there, learning how to develop a healthy mind. Been trying to do that all my life. Transform your life using neuroscience principles. That gets me, I don't know that. Discover how to read your dashboard. That doesn't mean your car. And boost your well-being. So some of those things I know could benefit me very well. And if there's people that you think you'd like to invite to come along to that, please do. It should be a really interesting workshop. If you're wanting the pre-reading material, you need to put your name on the list that's going to be out there on the welcome desk. And if you'd like to put your name down and show that you're coming, please write your name down there too. And that's all I have as far as the notices go. If you need to get community news and you're not receiving it, you can scan that QR code up there, or talk to Marg Pake and she'll make sure that you get it. The call to worship. Jesus called the 12 and gave them all that they needed to be his disciples. God calls us now, today, here in this place. God calls us all. God calls us to be followers of Jesus, healers of the sick, defeaters of evil, and calmers of chaos. This is who we are called to be now, today, here. We gather together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. We come into your presence with a hopeful expectation that we will learn more of your love for us as revealed to us in Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit rest on this gathering, that by the power of your Holy Spirit working in us, this will be a blessed and special time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand for our first song, As the Deer Pants.
Steve. morning, everybody. Yes, we gather to worship our Lord today. And as we gather to worship, we celebrate that His love for us is perfect in every way. He declares us to be perfect in His Son, Jesus. Yet on our own, we recognize that we are far from perfect. So as we enter into this time of worship and as we prepare to hear His word today, let's take a moment to ask God to forgive us and create clean hearts in us. Let's take a moment of silent reflection before we enter into the questions on the screen. Friends, in the presence of God who searches the heart, do you confess that you are not perfect, but far from it? Do you believe that Jesus Christ has taken your imperfection, your sin upon Himself, so that you can be forgiven in His name? And do you desire to be forgiven and so to be put right with God? Do you intend with the help of the Holy Spirit to start again and live every moment knowing that you are loved by God and God is present with you? Our Heavenly Father promises forgiveness to all who turn to Him in faith. And so in the name of Jesus and by His death, all your failures have been dealt with. You are forgiven. God sets you free. He remembers your sin no more. So be at peace, for God is at peace with you. May we live together in love for one another this day, honouring God and each other in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, in our readings that we're about to hear today, we're going to enter into God's word firstly by going to the Old Testament prophet of Ezekiel. I wonder what your memory's like on your understanding of this prophet Ezekiel. Well, I thought I'd do a bit of homework on him this week myself and realised that the name Ezekiel means God strengthens. What a beautiful meaning for a name. God strengthens. We all seek God's strength in our life. But Ezekiel was one of about 10,000 people from Israel who were taken to Babylon as captives under King Nebuchadnezzar when King Nebuchadnezzar's army in 597 BC subdued the city of Jerusalem. And then in 593 BC, and it's interesting how Ezekiel can be that accurate, he was called to serve by the Lord. He was called to be a prophet. And so today we're going to hear firstly Ezekiel's testimony about how he was called by the Lord to be a prophet. And then later on in our second reading we will hear the Apostle Paul speaking about how his strength is in the grace of the Lord Jesus. How God's grace strengthens him even in his weakness. And finally we will hear from the Gospel of Mark how Jesus was received in his hometown and sent out his 12. Thanks, Lyle.
Ezekiel chapter 2. The prophet hears God's voice. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord. From 2 Corinthians, St. Paul writes, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord. And from Mark chapter 6, Jesus was in the home of Jairus, whose daughter was just healed. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few people who were ill and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed with oil many people who were ill and healed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray the offering prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings you shower on us each moment of every day. We bring before you now our monetary and reg offerings coming from hearts that have been transformed by your Holy Spirit. Bless both gift and giver to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray for Pastor and ourselves as congregation. Dear Lord, we thank you for Pastor Nigel and his love for you and your word. We pray a blessing on this gathering and Pastor's message that your Holy Spirit work in and through the words of Pastor to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Vic. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you ever find those days when you rock up at work and all of a sudden you discover something you've been waiting for? Tuesday morning I rock up at my office and there sitting on my desk is a book I've been waiting for a little while. A book called Honor. Honor by Adam Ramsey, Loving Your Church by Building One Another Up. It's funny how that theme of honour seemed to resonate all the way through my week this past week. And so today I thought I might just share a few of the stories about how this has had, or how it has popped up in my week throughout the week. Tuesday afternoon, the Messy Church Planning Group meet together, and we're thinking about getting ready for our next Messy Church on the 28th of July, which happens to have an Olympic theme because, well, that very weekend is the start of the Olympics. So a time of great excitement as we get ready to celebrate the Olympics. And for our devotion that evening, Deb, our Messy Church coordinator, chose to share elements of a story of this bloke, Eric Liddell. Eric is a famous Scottish sports person. I wonder how many of you know his story well. If you've seen the movie A Chariot of Fire, you probably know a fair bit of his story. For those of you who don't know his story, here's a bit of a snapshot this morning. Eric grew up in a devout Christian missionary family. His parents were actually Scottish missionaries to China. Eric, in fact, was born in China back in 1902. And then he was sent back as a young student back to Scotland for boarding school. That's what many of the missionary families did. And then in 1923, well, by 1923, he was one of the fastest runners in Great Britain for the 100 metres. And he held a record, well, he got a record back in 1923 that he then kept for 23 years. No one could run the 100 metres faster than him in Britain. And as a young man, Eric had the same missionary passion that his parents had. And he was invited to preach at various student gatherings. And he always seemed to gather a large crowd that loved to listen to him, partly because of his great athletic ability. But throughout his life, Eric sought to honour Jesus in every area of his life. And so as Great Britain was preparing to take a team to Paris for the 1924 Olympics, it's funny how 100 years later it comes back to Paris again, he was selected to be part of the team to run the 100 metres. And all was good until he realised that the final for the 100 metres race was going to be done on a Sunday. Now for Eric, that was a significant issue. He had personally chosen to set aside Sunday to be that special day of worship to God. It was not a day that he considered appropriate to run such a race as a 100 metres grand final. And so in the months leading up to the race, he chose to decline the invitation to run the 100 metres for Great Britain. He was a favourite for that race. He was expected to win that race. But he chose to decline the opportunity to run that race. And so the nation thought he was a traitor. Many people challenged his principles. He was in fact told that he was dishonouring God by not running, by not showing the world his gift that God had given to him. But no amount of pressure could change Eric's mind. Instead, he prayed that he would be able to honour the Lord with what he had been given. And then the most crazy thing happened. The selectors chose to give Eric the opportunity to run the 200 metres and the 400 metres at the Olympics. The reason being, those races did not fall on a Sunday. And although Eric was super fast at running the 100 metre sprint, when it came to the 400 metres races, his training was rather modest compared to those he was going to compete against. When it came to running the 200 metres, he came third in his race. And so when it came to the 400 metre race, he was, well, I guess wondering how are we going to go here. But on that morning, one of the guys who helped to train him, his masseur, gave him a little note on a piece of paper that said this. In the little old book it says, "He that honours me, I will honour, wishing you the best of success always." Now, Eric immediately recognised where that quote came from. But Eric's position in the race was not the ideal position. He had been given the outside lane in this race, and in that lane he would not be able to see his competitors coming up behind him. So he had one choice and one choice only: to enter that race running as fast as he could. And so his prayer to God that day was, "Well, God, I'm going to give all I can to the first 200 metres of this race, but then I'm going to be relying upon whatever you can give me to be able to finish this race." He ended up sprinting that whole race in a most awkward and unusual sprinting fashion. And he won that race, breaking Olympic and world records. At our Messy Church planning meeting, Deb led us to think about this phrase, "He that honours me, I will honour." The phrase that was on that note that was given to Eric. I've since learnt, since Tuesday night, that this happens to be a paraphrase of the words that we find in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, where the Lord says, "I will honour those who honour me." And then as I was reading this book on Wednesday night, I discovered how similar these words are to the words of Jesus in John chapter 12, where Jesus says, "My Father will honour the one who serves me." If we want to reflect back on the life of this sporting star named Eric Liddell, we will see that his life in so many ways gave honour to Jesus. Eric put his faith first in so many areas of his life. He dedicated his life ultimately to sharing his faith in Jesus. He did so wherever he went. And in the year after he had won the gold medal for the 400 metres at the Olympics, he found himself going back to China to enter into the mission field there. During the World War that followed, He was taken by Japanese soldiers into an internment camp in 1943. But by 1945, he died with a massive brain tumour. 1945, that makes him 43 years old when the Lord called him home. Eric's story is one of giving honour to Jesus. And as we prepare for the Olympics coming up soon, if you haven't seen that movie, Chariots of Fire, maybe that'd be a good one to look up and check out to celebrate someone who lived his faith through his sport. As I was reading this book this week, at least I haven't finished it yet, but I've made a bit of a dent in it, the author speaks about honour this way: to value rightly and treat with appropriate reverence and respect. As Christians, we are called to honour God above all else. We are also called to honour one another. And when this word honour is used as a verb, it presents the idea of to magnify or to give weight to. As Christians, we are called to glorify God and show respect to one another. And as I was reading the book, I came across this quote that connects to our mission and vision statements beautifully. Adam writes, "An environment that is absent of honour reduces the vibrancy and colour of our life together in Christ to a dull and predictable relational greyness." For those of you who worship here regularly, you will know that our vision statement, which lives over here on the side banner, celebrates Jesus' calling upon our life to be vibrant, holy, loving, and caring. And we will celebrate that our mission is to honour Jesus. The book speaks about how honouring Jesus is to say, "Jesus, I'm entirely yours. Jesus, you are entirely in charge." Further into the week, this last week, I found myself spending some time with the staff at the Encounter Lutheran College for their spiritual retreat on Wednesday and Thursday. And on the Wednesday afternoon, they went to the movies. They went to the movies not just to see any old movie, but to see the movie Luther that came out in 2003. The reason they went to see this movie is that they wanted to grow their understanding of what it meant to be a Lutheran college. And so we watched the movie together, and then on the Thursday afternoon spent some time discussing elements of the movie. But one thing that stood out to me in this movie was when Luther was a young guy and being mentored by a guy by the name of Johann Staupitz, his mentor taught Luther to honour Jesus by praying the words of Psalm 119. "Lord Jesus, I am yours. Save me." Friends, you and I can honour Jesus by what we think about, by how we live before him, and by the motivations that guide our thoughts and actions. Jesus is honoured when we speak the truth about him, when we do what he says, what he asks us to do, and when we do so simply because we have experienced his perfect love and grace first. The author of this book, towards the end, shares this beautiful statement: "Could there be any higher goal for us as followers of Jesus than to honour him in all that we do and with all that we are?" And so there's just a few little snapshots of this week, from this week, about how this word honour has popped up time and time again in my week. And then comes our gospel reading that we have for us today, where Jesus returns to his hometown, the place where Jesus was known way before his ministry started. And yes, the local people there in Nazareth recognized him as the son of Joseph. They were amazed about the stories they had heard about Jesus. But even though people everywhere else seemed to honor Jesus as the one who had come to be the Messiah, these people, the ones who had known him for the longest, did not seem to give Jesus the honor and the respect that other people were giving to him elsewhere. In fact, in verse 3 we read, they took offense to Jesus. In other words, they looked down on Jesus. And to look down on Jesus is not to give him the honor that is due to him. They had known Jesus for the longest, but they failed to understand the greatness and the majesty of who Jesus really was. And in this way, the people of his own hometown rejected Jesus as their Messiah, the Savior of the world. Up until this point in Jesus' ministry, he would have performed many miracles in many places. And people had honored him by putting their faith in him. But here in his hometown, we are told that the people lacked faith. And so very few miracles were performed there, except for a few laying on of hands and healings. But what about us today? In what ways are you and I honoring Jesus? We live in a world that promotes the honoring of oneself. We live in a world that promotes that self-honor above everything else. And so the question we can ask today is, have we forsaken the call to honor Jesus? Have we found ourselves following the patterns of our world, honoring ourselves over everyone else, over even God? Some of us may think, well, we've known Jesus for a long time. But has our sense of familiarity with our knowledge of Jesus led us to a contempt where we simply feel comfortable to go back to our old ways of operating, where we will trust in our own works and our own efforts rather than trusting in the saving works of Jesus? Do we show the same respect and reverence for Jesus in what we think and do and say? Or are there ways that we find ourselves dishonoring Jesus by what we think or do or say? Those people in Jesus' hometown show us just how easy it is for any of us to dishonor Jesus even without us realizing it. In Psalm 139, King David gives us some beautiful pictures of what it means to honor Jesus. Well, to honor God. In this psalm, if you think back through what you know of it, you'll recognize how David honors God as the one who is above all, the one who is all-knowing, the one who is ever-present, and the one who is the creator even of our most inmost being. And then David goes on to pray against those who dishonor God. But he finishes by praying this: search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Friends, it's so easy to dishonor God. And maybe even King David knew this, for he asked God to come and search his motives, to test his actions, to know his anxious thoughts. Instead of us easily taking offense at God, honoring him may mean giving God permission to see instead if there is anything offensive in us. And then asking God to do only what he can do, leading us in the way that is everlasting. In our gospel reading, we see through the people in Nazareth just how easy it is to dishonor Jesus by overlooking who he is and what he is doing. Even those people in his hometown who knew him well took offense at Jesus and the stories they heard about him. They did not honor him. As people, we can dishonor Jesus with our anxious thoughts, with our offensive behaviors, with our selfish motives. And when we realize, though, that we have dishonored Jesus by what we have thought, by what we have said, or by what we have done, is there any hope for us? Yes, there is. Our hope is found in simply returning to him again, returning to Jesus and celebrating that he is the one who has come that we may experience God's perfect love. For eternal life, eternal forgiveness, eternal salvation is found nowhere except in our Lord Jesus. At those points in our life when we recognize that we have in fact dishonored Jesus, we can turn back to him and remember that he is the one who was sent to be our Savior alone. We can turn back to him with our attitude of humility and repentance and ask him again to do only what he can do. He can forgive. He can redeem. He can even create in you and in me a clean heart once again, and again put a new and right spirit in us, as he prayed in Psalm 51. We can again seek to honor Jesus by celebrating the redeeming work of him in our life and by following him. In the book that I've been really started reading this week, I noted that this is the type of community that us churches are called to be. Communities of humility. Communities where honest confession and repentance is normalized, where we are not preoccupied with ourselves, but honor Jesus as a better Savior than any of us could ever dream of. And maybe that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. In Jesus, we have a better Savior than we could ever dream of. That's how great our Saviour is, that his grace would be sufficient for us. In the last part of our gospel reading today, we see that the attitude that Jesus' hometown friends had of him did not stop him from going about his work. He continued to do what his heavenly Father called him to do. And then he even goes on to send out his closest 12 followers, his 12 disciples, to continue his work. He sends them out in pairs with authority even over impure spirits. And these 12 honored Jesus by going where he sent them. And they did exactly what Jesus gave them the authority to do. Still today, the promise remains. Jesus says, "My Father will honor those who serve me." Or to use the language of 1 Samuel, "I will honor those who honor me." Friends, may that call to honor Jesus, be ever before us. May we find ourselves seeking to honor Jesus, not necessarily to win his honor, but simply because we have come to know that Jesus is a better Savior than we could ever imagine. May we be aware that to honor ourselves is a form of pride. To seek honor for ourselves is in fact lethal. But when we give honor away to God and to others, this is in fact life-giving. Honor and humility go together. By the work of the Holy Spirit, may we honor Jesus this day by simply putting our faith in the saving work of Jesus for us. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your patience, guidance and encouragement. For you know that daily we are inattentive and lose our way, having to be brought back to you, our loving shepherd. We are so easily led astray and so slow to return. We have no excuse, but we simply stand in awe of your endless grace. And we bring thanks and praise to you, our ever-loving God. We ask your Holy Spirit to continue to encourage us whenever we face difficulties, trouble and perplexity. We thank you for the freedom that we have to gather in worshipping you. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who don't have that freedom. Lord, sadly, not all honor you. This morning, we pray for those families in Mexico who are grieving for family members murdered for simply being Christian, and for the growing violence in that country. We also pray for Christians in North Korea, that they may be comforted and have a sense of fellowship with other Christians around the world. Lord, bring a speedy end to the tyranny in that country which denies you. We also grieve for the continuing violence against Christians in Nigeria, perpetrated by Islamists. Father, we pray your protection on this anti-Christian region. By the power of the shed blood of the Lord, stay the hand of the wicked and confound their opposition to you. Father, Islam dishonors Jesus, but have mercy upon Muslims, that they may see and understand the lies that Islam tells of Jesus, and in particular, their lie that they quote from the Quran, the heresy that God has no son. Lord, show them that your son is the truth. And Father, we have just sung Hosanna. And we will shortly pray Hosanna. We just note that phrase comes from the Psalms, the original Hebrew Hoshiana, which means save us. And the suffix na is a Hebrew entreaty and imperative. So Hosanna means Lord, save us, please, now, urgently. I assume everyone present and those online already have that assurance of salvation. If not, come and talk to us afterwards. But rather, Lord, we bring before you, Father, those who are lost. We pray Hosanna on behalf of those in our sphere of contact who don't know you, Lord. We fear for these people in our own area whose eternal future risks being without you. Lord, there's a growing number who have yet to hear that the kingdom of God is at hand. Lord, you have commanded your servants, your disciples, to go and speak to these lost sheep and to teach about the eternal kingdom. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to set up meetings, to give us the right and appropriate words, to replace our fear of speaking out, for you have told us to be bold and very courageous. As Nigel said last week, help us to pepper our conversations with Jesus. Lord, prepare the ground. Open the spiritual eyes and unstop the spiritually deaf ears of those whom you have chosen to save. Father, we know that our spiritual enemies don't want us to speak of Jesus and don't want the lost sheep to hear about their shepherd. We can do nothing without you. Our holy and all-wise God, we need you. So we ask your mercy upon those who are lost. With this prayer,
and if necessary with fasting. We ask you to turn their hearts towards you. Help us to be your voice in this area, leading them to you for their salvation. Help us to obey you as we lead them with patience and persistence. It is our privilege and our duty to be your voice in the world. So help us to do so in humility, in obedience, peace, joy, and above all, in love. All praise and thanks to you, our Father. And all of those who agree with these prayers, affirm them now with an emphatic Amen. Amen. Just one last thing. There will be one-on-one prayer over here, just after the service, for those who would like to avail themselves of our Lord's further ministry. Often, nobody comes. Is it fear of what others might think? Seeking to wield our Lord's power and authority is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. The Holy Spirit knows, and we know, that there are needs to be met and impossible problems to overcome. So welcome after the service. And for those of you online, don't be afraid to contact us for further prayer. The Lord's blessing upon you all. Amen.
Lord Jesus, all honour and glory and power and thanks be to you, for through your cross you have saved us. We thank you that you come to us in the meal we share today to strengthen our faith in you, that we may go from this place to honour you in all we do. And so, trusting in your saving work, we talk to your Father as our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I invite you today to come and receive this meal of celebration as a meal, as a reminder of God's saving work in your life, that it may strengthen you, that you may continue to bring honour to him. As you come forward, may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you, the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you, the body of Christ given for you.
I believe in the
and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Stressed and anxious, come all who clench their fears, come all whose minds are reeling, find rest for your soul. Peace, be still my soul. Hear the words of Jesus. Come and sit at his feet. Come, it's all that you need. Surrender all. Be still, my soul. Your yoke is easy, Jesus, your burden's light. You walk along beside me in rhythms of grace. Help me lay down my burdens, help me and clench my fist, breathing a little deeper in rhythms of grace. Peace, be still my soul. The words of Jesus, come and sit at his feet, come, it's all that you need, surrender all, be still my soul. Come, it's all that you need.
Friends, may the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go in peace. Amen. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that in this meal you have again showed us your love, your grace for us. May your grace be our strength even in our weakness in this coming week, that in all situations we may turn to you and honour you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand for our closing song today.
Peace.
So as you go into this new week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for gathering for worship together today. Pray you have a blessed day ahead. For those who are visiting here today, please stay for a cuppa together with us today. If you're looking for most of the coffee and tea served in the hall next door, but if you're looking for a barista style coffee, just head next door into the green room and you'll be able to order one there. Today, Gordon will be available to the side for those seeking prayer ministry and support. And also, if you're visiting here today, you might like to sign the visitor's book as you leave at the welcome desk today too. Wish you all a blessed week and see many of you again, same place, same time, next Sunday.
We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're meant to be. And launch yourself as a bottle, though we may be tossed about. But your presence in the storm, it walls us in, calls us out. You left a safe port of heaven for the elements of earth. This God at risk exposed. You lift our eyes to horizons where that heaven brushes earth. And this worn world is transformed. We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're meant to be. And launch yourself as a pilot, though we may be tossed about. But your presence in the storm, it walls us in, calls us out. You sent us out to the market, sent us out to the fields. Jesus, hope ambassadors. We take no purse for the journey, but take your authority to declare that all is yours. We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're meant to be. And launch yourself as a pilot, though we may be tossed about. But your presence in the storm, it walls us in and calls us out. Out to the office, leaving his mark. Out to the factory, his spirit, the spark. Out to the school gates and out to the bars. May we risk what was never ours. We are not made for the harbor, we are made for the sea. Though at times it's wild and cold and dark, it's where we're meant to be. You launch yourself as a fighter, though we may be tossed about. But your presence in the storm, it walls us in and calls us out. We are not made for